It is a joy to be here this morning, even though we have the rain outside, and we've had a lot of rain this week, and we've talked a lot about rain, it seems, and storms and exhortations and things like that. This morning, however, I would like to talk to you about Paul and talk to you about his consistent messaging throughout the Bible and how with Paul there was one gospel, there was one message. And some of you might know that I'm a salesman by trade. That is what I do to make a living. I go out and I try to sell products for Yancey Brothers. I try to rent machines and things like that. And there's a lot of similarities between going out and sharing the gospel and going out and trying to get people to rent equipment, try to sell them something. Me and a good sister of mine, we had a conversation about that, how often evangelism and sales is kind of the same thing. You have to, one, go out and talk to people to get them interested. Two, you got to find where they're at and try to get them to where you're at to see the mutual benefit of the product for both parties. One, I want you to use it, and two, you need to use it, right? But there is something in sales that you also learn very fast is that products change. Models change. Prices adjust. And what was top of the line a year ago is going to be completely outdated to now. You think about 20 years ago, you bought an F-150. You didn't get heated seats. You didn't get a moonroof. You probably got four-wheel drive and hopefully an automatic. Well, you got four on the floor, three on the column. The older guys are looking at me like, yep, three on the column. I remember those days. Things change. Products change. Why do they change? Because we're trying to change for the market. What is in the market today is not what's going to be in the market tomorrow, and what is in the market today was not in the yesterday. There's a research group who does nothing but interview people about cars. Do you know why you have 17 cup holders in your car? It's because of your wife. Women make decisions based on cup holders sometimes. How many cup holders? How close the cup holder is? What size cup will the cup holder fit? It's a little nugget of information for you. But the gospel doesn't do that. The gospel is the same exact message today that it was when Paul preached it. It's the same message they preached in the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and on centuries. The message has not changed. It is consistent. If I ask you, what's the message? We all should know. The good news is what? Christ Jesus died for your sins. That's the message. That is the gospel. There is one message. If you will, open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul tells the Corinthians there he's going to send Timothy to them and to do what? Look at verse 17. For this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son of the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church. It gives you the idea of consistency, doesn't it? He teaches the same thing everywhere. No matter whether he's in Galatia, Ephesus, Corinth, or even if he was in modern day America, the message would be the same. Now, would he have different issues to deal with in each one of those locations? Absolutely. But the message would still be Christ Jesus died for your sins. Here's the hope that you have. There would be no change in his message. Paul didn't change the gospel to make the sale. Paul preached the same doctrine in every church. Paul didn't rebrand the gospel for different audiences. His product line never changed. Why? Why does his product line never change? Well, the obvious answer is not his. Who's his product? Who's his product made by? God, the creator of the universe. God's product is the best product. That was my direct line to someone the other day. We were talking about this. Guys, we're trying to sell the best product the world has ever known. And it's really simple. Do you want it? Or do you not want it? It is that simple, ladies and gentlemen. Our job is to just go and sell the product. Hey, Christ Jesus died for your sins. Do you want to believe that? Or do you not want to believe that? We make it so complicated, but it's just that simple. Just go out and tell somebody, Christ Jesus died for your sins. Here's how the gospel starts. And notice, turn over a couple chapters in chapter 7, in verse 17 also. Paul again, he's talking about marriage here, but so he says again that I direct the same thing in every church. Paul again, saying it again, I direct the same thing in every church. Same direction in every congregation. There's no basic package. There's no premium package. There's no XLT, no XL, no platinum. It's the same for everyone. There should be some hope in that for all of us. That, hey, your gospel is not better than my gospel. Mine is not better than yours. It's the same for everyone. Turn over to Galatians chapter 1 and verses 8 and 9. Paul talks about what happens if somebody comes and offers you something different. What should happen to that person? Paul says it here. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you that you have not received, let him be accursed. Notice Paul says, even if we come to you and preach something different, let us be accursed. It's the same message everywhere. It doesn't change. No matter who comes and tells you it, it should line up. If I go back to Galatia and I preach this message, it should be just like Paul's message. If you go and preach that message, it should be just like my message. We should be aligned on what the message is. In sales, a competitor can come along and offer you something flashier, something cheaper, maybe a little more better customized product for your needs, right? But what if it's worse quality? What if it's not the same premium product that you were expecting from me? Did you get a good deal? Probably not. In religion, false teachers do the same thing, ladies and gentlemen. They offer you a product that isn't the premium product you deserved. But with the gospel, different messages is not just a bad product. It's one that will kill a soul. Has a lot more weighted consequence. It isn't, this truck just don't have the cooling seats that I wanted. No, it can leave someone's soul eternally damned. A lot of people don't like that phrase, eternally damned. But that is exactly what will happen if we go out sharing the wrong message. Paul required unity in his doctrine. He required it. Look over to 1 Corinthians 10. He is being almost in a teaching mode and an angry mode to the Corinthians here in 1 Corinthians 1. In verse 10, he tells them how they had become divided. Some of Apollos, some of Paul. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you speak the same thing, that there are no divisions among you, that you may be perfectly joined together with the same mind and the same judgment. What does that mean? It means we should all come together. We should all be pitching that same message. It shouldn't be different. We should all be able to recognize what sin is, what the gospel is, what things are. Does that mean we're in different portions of study? Absolutely. But eventually we should all be able to come to the same mind and the same judgment. We should all be able to recognize the same things and share the same message. Unity isn't agreeing to disagree. Unity is being aligned in the same truth. Or we'll just agree to disagree. No, we should be able to study together and come to what the truth is. Because that's what the message is, right? The message is the truth. We should be working together to gain more and more knowledge on the truth. Think about it. Look at verses 12 and 13. Paul rebukes them, who becomes saying, I'm a Paul, I'm a Apollos. Verse 12, now I say this to each of you says, I'm of Paul, or I'm of Apollos. I am Cephas, or I am of Christ. 13, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I love Paul's sarcasm. I love it. Was I crucified for you? No, of course not. I didn't die for your sins. Who died for your sins? Christ Jesus. That is the message, ladies and gentlemen. Christ Jesus died for your sins. Paul and Apollos were not competitors. They should have been striving together. Most likely they were striving together. But also, remember Apollos, back in Acts 18. He didn't have the full product line. He didn't have all the features of the product. Look over to Acts 18 and verses 24 and 26. Beginning there, verse 24. Now a certain Jew named Apollos, born of Alexandria, an eloquent man, mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in his spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. His gospel message is a little off kilter there. But notice what it says about him. Was he enthused? Was he a good speaker? Would he be what you would consider a great salesman? Everybody shake your head, yes. He would be. He'd be a great salesman. Sometimes I get tongue-tied in meetings. I would love to be eloquent. I think that's one of my lacking qualities as a salesman. I'm not very eloquent. But it says here, this guy had fervent spirit. He was about it. He was serious about it. And he could talk about it. Notice, he was talented, he's passionate, and pervasive. But his product knowledge was lacking. He was teaching John's baptism, not baptism into Christ. But once corrected, what happens? Look at verses 27 and 28. Excuse me, pick up in verse 26. So he began to spoke boldly in the synagogue where Aquila and Priscilla heard him. They took him aside and began to explain to him the way of God more accurately. And when he desired to cross Achaia, the brethren were exhorting his apostles to receive him when he arrived. He greatly helped those who believed through grace, for he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing the scriptures that Jesus Christ is the Christ. He got the product knowledge he needed. He already had the natural talent. Now he can be unstoppable. So as a salesman, what do I look at this? What's my application here? A salesman can be the best personality. He can be the most pervasive person in the room. He can be charming and outstanding with people. He can be charismatic even. But if he doesn't have the complete product knowledge, what happens when that customer asks a question? That customer's diverted. They're going the wrong path. Same with us today. If we don't know the product, we have to know the product. We have to know the gospel. We have to know the word of God. Apollos had the right heart. Every one of us would agree with that. But he hadn't had the real baptism. He didn't have the real doctrine. He was short. But once he got it, what did Paul and his doctrine do? United. It was perfect. It was in unison together. Unity restored, and the brand was consistent again. If you own a business, you will tell you brand consistency matters. If you go to Rainier, you know what you're going to get. You're going to get products from pulp trees. You go to Georgia Power, you're going to get electricity. You go to Yancey, you're going to get Caterpillar equipment. You go to McDonald's, are you going to get a Whopper? Absolutely not. You're going to get a Quarter Pounder. Because you're expecting to get a Quarter Pounder, not a Whopper. It is important to have consistency in your brand. Paul taught the same gospel to all people groups. Poor, broke, rich, wealthy, whatever. Look over to Acts 20. And we'll look at verses 20 and 21. It says, now I've kept nothing back that was helpful, but proclaimed to you and taught you publicly from house to house, testifying to Jews and also Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. I know we have talked about this several times, about preaching to those even we don't think are worthy of it. When did we decide that? Because I have some verses in the Bible that says all men, God desires to be saved. No matter who they are. There was a story of a man going to go preach the gospel to Jeffrey Dahmer. I would tell you that I would not have the courage to do that. It took some courage to go preach the gospel to Jeffrey Dahmer. It would be very hard for me to go do that. But that man decided that Jeffrey Dahmer needed to hold the gospel. He needed to touch it. He needed to be baptized. He needed to have his soul saved. That should be our desire, to have all men saved. Why? To make ourselves look good? No, because that's what God desires. He desires all men to be saved. Not a precious few, not those that we like. Everyone. Everyone. Galatians 3, Paul says it again, that we are all one in Christ. Look at Galatians 3 and verse 28. It says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Romans 2:11 says, for there is no partiality with God. God doesn't have favorites. He wants everyone. Not just our friends, not just our family, but even that guy at work who we just cannot stand. God even wants him. Do we go and share the message with him? Do we go share the message with the persons who we think are the dregs of society? The poor, the homeless. Do we go to them? Or maybe even the rich and affluent who think they are too good to hear it. You go share the message with them too? Or are we too scared to do that? In business, we segment the market. We know what groups we want to go after. We know how we want to attack them. Different ads for different groups. We might know, like, the industrial side like to see everything in red, so we go after the red. Then we know farmers like everything in blue, so we do it blue. That's not true, but still, you get the idea. The idea is we shouldn't have different ads. The gospel doesn't work that way. The same offer goes to everyone. The same offer goes to everyone because we all have the same need. And that's sin. We need a cure for sin. And that same solution is Christ Jesus dying on the cross for our sins. The same solution is Christ. Then when Paul was teaching, he entrusted others to teach the same message. Look at 2 Timothy 2. In verse 2. Paul writing to Timothy, a young man, he says, in these things you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Paul trained sales reps. He trained sales reps to go out and share the product. But they weren't allowed to change the product, were they? What does he tell Timothy here? The same thing that I've told you and taught you, go share it. You're not allowed to deviate from it. If Jarrett tells Jet to go down Main Street only, and Jet goes off Main Street, did Jet listen to what Jarrett said? No. Same thing here. Paul tells Timothy specifically, share the things that I've shared with you. Nothing else, nothing less. The goal wasn't to innovate the gospel. It was to preserve the offer exactly as it was. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3. Again, Paul writing to Timothy. I urge you, as I urge you when we were in Macedonia, remain in Ephesus, that you may charge some that they may teach no other doctrine. There is no other doctrine. Paul has already wrote what we've already said previously. Don't share any other doctrine. He told Titus in Titus 1:9 to refute those who contradict it. To stand up to those who want to go out and change the gospel. That's Titus 1, verse 9. the message changes with every customer, what happens? Customers get confused, and the sale is lost. There's nothing worse than having a confused customer in front of you. Because then they start asking questions, and then it can go off the rails. You want that customer locked in exactly what you have to offer and how it's going to go. A confused customer is the death of a sale. Same with the message of the gospel. Our credibility depends on every teacher giving the exact same gospel. That means when I go preach the gospel, it's the same as when Clay does it, when Ridge does it, when Jonathan does it. We're all preaching the same message. When Miss Susan does it, when Miss Sherry does it, Miss Thelma, go down the list of people in this room, we all have to be sharing the same gospel. Last little point that we have, this is the gospel can't be changed without consequences. If I change the sales deal last minute without telling the customer, what's that customer going to do to me? That's not what we agreed to now, Trey. Hold up. You said this in the meeting. Same thing. Look at 2 John, in verse 9. John writing here about those who will not abide in the doctrine of Christ. He says, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. What does abiding mean? It means living in. It means sharing in. It means growing in that doctrine. We should all be growing in the same doctrine, right? We should all have the same Bibles. We all have the same message degree to read from, to meditate on, right? To share with one another. We all have the same message. We don't try to change it. We don't say, well, for you guys, you don't have to get baptized, and for you guys, you don't have to repent. No, that's not what we do. We don't say, oh, well, Christ only died for some of y'all. The rest of y'all, y'all are okay. Don't worry. You didn't really need Christ to die for you. That's not what we do. The message is simple. Christ Jesus died for your sins. You have to obey the gospel. You have to hear, repent, believe, confess, and be baptized to become a Christian. That's the message, right? That's what we're all doing, making sure everybody shook your head yes. That's what we're all sharing, right? Revelation 22, it says, you should not take away from it or add to that book of prophecy. We're not allowed to add to the message. We're not allowed to take from the message. It's the same message. It hasn't changed. It hasn't been edited. We don't get to pick the parts that we want to share and pick the parts that we don't want to share. And ladies and gentlemen, changing it doesn't make it better. There's nothing that we can do to make it better. There's not one thing that we can do to the gospel that will make it better. It's called the good news for a reason, because it's the best news. What can you do to add to it to make it better? What can you take away from it to make it better? If you have something, please let me know. I'd like to study with you about it. But there's nothing. In sales, if I mess with the manufacturer's design, guess what I just did? I voided the warranty. That thing is gone. You have no warranty anymore because I messed with the manufacturer's design. How happy are you going to be when you break it? Notice I don't say, if you break it, when you break it. You're going to be highly upset with me. If you tamper with the gospel of God, you forfeit the promise of salvation. Because the person isn't going to get it. Because what they believe isn't right. Go back to that Paulus example we just talked about. Don't mess with the gospel. There's nothing you can do to it to make it better. Here's your invitation. God's offer is still on the table. I can tell you that our quotes expire. Our sales expire. They're a limited time deal. But God's offer hasn't changed in 2,000 plus years. It's still the same offer. Christ Jesus died for your sins. Come. Hear the word of God. hear that Christ Jesus died for your sins. Don't miss that window, that opportunity, because you might not ever get it again. It's always around, but it's also very fleeting. At any moment, the Lord could return. You're not promised tomorrow. It's been here since the first century. It doesn't get updated to match the latest cultural trends, but it will expire when Christ returns. 1 Corinthians 15:1 through 4 is our last passage we'll read today. If you'll turn your Bibles there. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which you've also received, in which you stand, by which you are also saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered you first of all, which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he arose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." Ladies and gentlemen, that's the gospel. Christ Jesus died for your sins. He arose the third day, and now you have hope. You have hope. You have a hope from sin. You have a hope of heaven. How did they accept the offer in Paul's day? Well, first they heard the word. Next they believed it. They confessed Jesus as Lord. And they were baptized for forgiveness of their sins. Same thing today. The same way we make Christians today. The same results. The same as awful. The same gospel is offered to you tonight. It's not a sales pitch. It's a promise from God. No gimmicks, no upgrades, no substitutions. If you never accept it, accept it now. If you walked away, come back before the offer is withdrawn. If you have these needs, we ask you to come and sing as we sing the song that's selected.